Good afternoon. I'm Jeff Beckwith, the Executive Director of the Massachusetts Municipal Association, and the MMA is very pleased to be the hosting platform for the weekly COVID-19 updates that the Lieutenant Governor and the Baker-Polito administration provides to the municipal chief executive officers all throughout Massachusetts. Today we have the Lieutenant Governor and other agency officials who will be providing updates, and then we will, as always, be taking the question and answer period through the chat function. And a record of this particular briefing, a recording, will be placed on the MMA website. A summary will be provided, and all of the answers that are provided by the administration will be shared with the municipal CEOs. Lieutenant Governor, we thank you very much for your leadership throughout this crisis and for once again providing the latest and best information to the municipal leaders of the Commonwealth. Lieutenant Governor, the program is yours.
Okay, thank you, Jeff, and thanks to your team and your leadership and to all of your members, those on the call and their counterparts across the Commonwealth for your leadership, really doing an outstanding job, as you can see from our public health data that has allowed us to reopen more activity in our Commonwealth. It's really a tribute to you and to what individual citizens of our Commonwealth are taking seriously and incorporating into their daily lifestyles and their habits, which is great. So let me start, and also on the call with me is Sean Cronin, Dr. Madoff, as well as Elizabeth Denison from our legal office. So when the chat room lights up with some questions or calls for clarification, we've got the team with us today. I wanted to talk about yesterday being step two of phase two, with a lot more activity opening in your communities, including indoor restaurant. It's the same protocol as outdoor. Wanted to be consistent. We listened to you about being clear about the guidance. I've heard really good stories about the outdoor expansions in our communities. More people are really enjoying being outdoors. Of course, the weather has been on our side and has allowed for that to happen. But I think that the restaurants that have incorporated that into their business model, working with all of you to make some of these places now available for seating, has really been a good addition. Moving to the indoor restaurant service will be interesting to see who takes up that opportunity. I think people will have choices to make if they choose to go out to dine and whether they will choose to go indoors. In addition, retail by appointment. Heard from a lot of people about the being able to access a dressing room, say, for instance, a bride who wants to try on her bridal dresses, being able to do that by appointment, so there's guidance for that. We also felt it was the right time to increase office capacity to 50%. So it'll be interesting to see how many employers really do move up to that 50%. We've heard a lot of good stories about working from home, both about the convenience for the employee, gaining back hours of time that they may have been commuting with to be able to work from home and really dedicate it back to their employer. And also the performance levels have been high relative to that model of work. So we'll see what now happens as we add more office capacity back. And of course, yesterday marked the beginning of more personal services, closer contact. Like hair removal, massages, and body work therapies, nail salons, skin care, makeup salons, tanning salons, tattoo and body art services, personal training can be done indoors on a one-on-one or one to two person if they're from the same household experience. These sector-specific protocols call for workers to wear gloves, gowns, or smocks, having glasses or goggles on their face, as well as the face covering, and no sharing of tools or supplies So we're pretty specific about what that says. And I want to thank all of your boards of health for really understanding these protocols and being ready to help businesses comply. We don't want to be in the business of shutting businesses down. We want to be in the business of helping businesses comply to make their places safer for the workers as well as the customers. We also are looking at the gathering order. We've heard a lot from you about what that could look like going forward. So maybe this week could be into next week that you might see some changes there. That is under review. Fiscal year budget. On Friday, you know, our administration filed the 112th budget for July. It's really just a maintenance for necessary services through July 31st. The Section 2 allows the advanced local aid payments to be made. I know Sean will talk a little bit more about that. And Section 3 extends the capital accounts that would have otherwise expired. The legislature has worked very quickly to engross this and get it back to us. Sean's shop delivered the bulletin through DLS regarding monthly local aid and cherry sheets, and he'll expand upon that and be available for any questions that you might have. I know that that was really important to get out. A lot of you have been asking for that, rightly so. For small businesses, we listened to the community around the regular collection of sales tax, meals tax, and room occupancy taxes, and that would have been due from March through August, though we have allowed that to be postponed to be due in September. The relief measure also includes all penalties and interest that would otherwise apply. Those have been waived. And this applies to businesses that paid less than $150,000 in regular sales plus meals taxes in the year ending February 29, 2020, and will be eligible for relief for sales and meals taxes, and businesses that paid less than $150,000 in room occupancy taxes will be eligible for relief as well. The late file and late pay penalties will be waived during this period. Department of Revenue is issuing emergency regulations to implement these measures. I did announce at our prior meeting the grant program that MassDOT made available around shared streets and better utilizing spaces like sidewalks, parking spaces, parking lots, and other areas within your communities to support local retail and restaurants, your downtowns and main streets. That application process is up on our website. It was up yesterday. It's a rolling process. Grants as small as $5,000 up to $300,000 through that program will be available to you as you are looking for support to reorganize these spaces and also meet accessibility requirements so that everyone can coexist safely and have access throughout the time period that these changes are being made. And to complement that program, Mass Development announced a $225,000 round of funding, and it is to participate in this programming to better prepare public spaces and commercial districts to serve the local population and to enhance economic recovery efforts. So you'd have two pots of funds to work with in order to help your local businesses and address things like outdoor seating, as I said, sidewalk, retail venues, and be able to accommodate the social distancing and space that everyone is looking for. The grants are up to $25,000. If it's up to $10,000 per project, may be awarded as an unmatched grant, and those over $10,000 looking for some match to be part of that. So that's good news. Just you're very skilled at taking advantage of these resources, so don't delay. try to access some of those funds to help. And Dr. Madoff may have a little bit more on this one, but in terms of testing numbers, we've now administered over 975,000 molecular tests with over 775 individuals tested. Our key public health metrics continue to head in the right direction, which has allowed us to have this safe and successful reopening. We certainly want to continue on this track as we approach phase three. You heard the governor perhaps say last Friday that he wants to look at 2 weeks of data following the indoor restaurant opening to really make sure that we continue to trend in the right direction. You're seeing from other states that we're not as aggressive or perhaps coordinated with their local officials around enforcing the mandatory safety measures and implementing these industry protocols for safety. And also the social guidance around wearing your face coverings and the hand sanitizing. All of that we've been doing a good job at in this Commonwealth, and I really believe that is making a difference. Of note, our 7-day weighted average of positive molecular test rates is down 93% since April 15th. The 3-day average is 1.9%, and the 3-day average of the number of COVID patients in the hospital is down 74% since April 15th. And we've had fewer than 1,000 patients hospitalized since June 18th. We're also seeing a 90% decrease from April 15th in number of hospitals using surge capacity. Dr. Madoff will talk a little bit more about the multi-day program we put in place with pop-up testing that was available to people who did participate in larger gatherings and wanted to know their status. It was close to 20,000 people. You'll have the number, doctor, that participated, and the results were consistent with the other testing that we've been doing throughout the Commonwealth. So that was a really good indicator that the virus, even though those large events took place, the events were outdoors, people were moving, and they did wear face coverings for the most part, which is what we observed, that we believe helped to achieve that outcome. A lot of work being done by you and by DESE regarding reopening our schools this fall. We want to thank you for your feedback and your participation, some of you in the discussions and analysis that's been done in order to better inform you and guide you as you plan to reopen schools this fall. You will be receiving additional guidance this week, and I would suggest perhaps next week at this meeting, if you choose to go forward with it, Jeff, to have Commissioner Riley come and talk about the guidance and the public health advice that we've received to allow us to outline an industry protocol for our schools to assist with organizing, preparing, and planning for having kids return to classrooms in our schools throughout our Commonwealth. And as we continue to monitor the data and we have ramped up testing and we have the ability to turn around tests quickly, we hope that the data will continue to show that having kids back literally into schools will be the way things go. And if it changes, we will have a backup relative to remote learning or a hybrid model that we could all pivot to. So a lot of work is being done in order for this to happen, but we feel confident that we have a good plan that we can share with you by the end of the week. And we will continue to work together on that, as well as rebuild our budgets and continue to provide meaningful services to the people around the Commonwealth. I did mention around gatherings, I wanted to thank this group because last week you brought up a lot of good points around our older community and having senior centers not available for that socialization and the ability for your senior councils on aging directors to sort of get a visual on the well-being of our seniors. One of the reasons why we want to look at our gathering guidance is to see if we can accommodate some of these outdoor activities like a summer concert on the town common or other opportunities that can accommodate social distancing and still provide the safety and support to our seniors and get them out to have a little bit more connection to things in their community. So those are the kinds of things that we're working on, and we really appreciate what we learn from all of you at this meeting time each week. With that, I'm going to turn it over to Sean Cronin, and he can go through the release yesterday on the local aid numbers, and then we'll get an update from Dr. Madoff.
Great. Thank you, Lieutenant Governor. So just very quickly, two things. One, on the bulletin that went out yesterday, you'll see that the plan is to, at least for July and August, unless a state budget's passed before that, to basically level fund cherry sheet aid and assessments for the first 2 months of fiscal 21. And those monies will be wired out as they normally are in the regular time frame. So you should expect to see those in your accounts at the end of July. And if it goes forward without a budget, for August as well. And then secondly, Lieutenant Governor mentioned the sales tax delay. Just want to note that municipal CEOs, accountants, and collector treasurers should have received a notice from us, from DOR Commissioner Snyder, just highlighting that because there will be some reduction in your local aid revenues from meals and lodging, and then there'll be a catch-up once those companies pay their taxes. So if you didn't get that letter, just check with your accountant or your collector treasurer. They should have received that because we wanted folks to know if you weren't aware already because of potential cash flow issues. And then just the last thing I'll mention, Lieutenant Governor noted the ability to have local aid advance, which is similar to a process that currently exists. Where communities, it doesn't happen often, but if communities have cash flow problems, they can request in advance. And the bill that Lieutenant Governor mentioned, the budget bill for July, includes that same language. So that's an option if need be. So that's it on my end.
Okay. Thank you, Sean. Dr. Madoff?
Thank you. Thank you, Sean. Thank you, Lieutenant Governor. And thank you all for joining today and for all of your collaboration with the Department of Public Health and all of the strong work that's being done in the communities around Massachusetts. We at DPH are committed to keeping you updated, answering questions about COVID as we move through the pandemic. You know, we are continuing with the phased reopening, and we are making sure that public health considerations are at the core of all of the actions to reopen the Commonwealth. The weather is warming, and people want to get outside and get back to their regular activities. And I'm always the one who says that every silver lining has a dark cloud, and we need to continue to be mindful. We are still in a pandemic. The phases of the state's reopening depend on meeting particular metrics, and as you heard from Lieutenant Governor, these information are becoming available. We will, it is always possible we'll need to adjust course, but our goal is to continue to move forward safely and protect our residents from the spread of COVID. We are seeing encouraging downward trends in hospitalizations, in the percentage of positive tests, now less than 2%. And these signs are encouraging, but we need to continue our prevention efforts. Many of us in public health were nervous about the protests and mass gatherings that we saw over the last couple of weeks. And it was indeed a very encouraging sign that of more than 17,000 people who were tested in these pop-up testing areas that really only about 400 is a lot of people, but it's only 2.5%. It's really just above what we would have expected in the overall testing population in Massachusetts. So we're very encouraged by that. And I think it suggests that the outdoor nature of many of these gatherings and the fact that social distancing to a large extent was maintained, it was very helpful. We are continuing to expand our efforts on testing and contact tracing. These are so important as the number of cases fall. We are able to contact cases and track their contacts so that we can use that as an important measure to complement the social distancing measures and limit potential spread. Last week, we launched our Get Tested website with an interactive map to help find testing near you, and we encourage you and your folks to use it. Also, that each day our daily dashboard of key metrics goes up, and it's posted by 4 p.m. Tomorrow, on Wednesday, you can also find many more data points, including the numbers of cases by city and town. And you can find all of this data at mass.gov/COVID-19. The pandemic is not over yet, and we need to continue to be vigilant, and we appreciate your ongoing collaboration on this. We need only look at some of the problems that are being seen in other states, and remember that Massachusetts isn't an island, to heighten our vigilance and to be careful. We're very proud of what the citizens of Massachusetts have done in bringing down the COVID outbreak in Massachusetts, and we really hope that this is bringing us into a new time period. I will stop there. I'll be around for questions. I'll continue on the call for questions. Thank you.
That's great news.
Great. Excellent. Lieutenant Governor, I think this is the time where we can move into the questions that have been posted. I did have one that came in advance of the webinar opening, and this had to do with a concern by a local official over a local water park that looks as though under the guidance they wouldn't be able to open until phase four, whenever that takes place, and it's only an 8-week season. Is there a contact or an office that you would recommend that the business go to see what financial assistance could be available, since they may lose most or all of their season?
Yeah, I heard from that establishment, and we can follow up directly. I'll have my office reach out to them. And there may be others too that we should talk with and see what their needs are that have a similar arrangement.
Well, we would, MMA would be happy to post on our website the general contact for all of those local officials who would like to reach out for economic assistance for their businesses. Thank you very much. It's no surprise that you're already on top of that particular issue. Here's a question regarding first expressing appreciation to you and your administration for all of the guidance. Do you have any idea when the office space guidance when the state offices will reopen more robustly, and then secondly, when the administration will not be strongly recommending that remote work be continued. Do you have any idea of those timelines?
Yeah, I'm going to ask Elizabeth to clarify further, but I believe the state is in a work from home policy through July 1. When we will begin to make changes. And on work from home, we are strongly encouraging work from home. I can take a look at that guidance. It says if feasible, but the must is a stronger word than strongly encouraged or should. So we will look at that and see what can be done there. And it does say up to 50%. So that people can make the best decisions given how their business is configured. There are some businesses that just cannot operate on a work from home basis. So I completely understand the challenges that that presents, and we need to clarify that further, we will do so.
Thank you.
Elizabeth, is July 1 around a date when the state will shift to more office staff?
So I don't...
Yeah, I'm not sure Elizabeth Denniston is on today. We can follow up, but certainly the state will be encouraging work from home kind of for the foreseeable future.
And Lieutenant Governor, you made a very important clarification. The questioner, the person who posed the question, used the word must, but it's not a mandate that employers do this, yet you are continuing to strongly encourage, when possible and feasible, work from home.
That's correct. Strongly
encouraged. And we'll just make the point that the MMA office is continuing to work from home and remotely following that advice and guidance. Lieutenant Governor, there's a question here from a local official who's concerned about musicians in their community and whether outdoor live music, even if it's acoustic only, can resume.
I fully appreciate the talent in the mayor of Newburyport's hometown. And that is being considered and reviewed as part of the analysis of our gathering order. I view it as like summer. The things that occur outdoors around the good weather months, it could be a local musician playing on the town common or on your waterfront. It could be an outdoor wedding at a hotel venue or other venue in your community. Looking at other states that have updated their gathering, mostly is outdoors. And I would see us probably focusing there before adding larger capacity indoors. And there might have to be a size defined for an outdoor gathering. In our guidance now, it says moderate capacity for phase three, and we are reviewing more specifically what moderate means, and that will be forthcoming soon to all of you.
Thank you. There's a question here regarding direction on school openings. You've already answered that question, and that DESE will be issuing some guidance this week, or there'll be some information sent to communities, and perhaps we'll work with you to arrange to have Commissioner Riley at next week's briefing.
And that would be great.
Thank you. A question on the Shared Streets program: is the emphasis on temporary short-term measures or permanent changes that will allow sharing on a long-term post-COVID basis?
Yeah, that's a very good question. And you know, some of the things that we've learned over these past few months, some things will become permanent or be part of the options that are considered, whether it's like a work from home program. Remember, not too long ago, there were a lot of people sitting in a lot of traffic trying to get to their workplaces and their destinations. And I remember having these conversations with the Gov trying to encourage employers to adopt work from home programs. And now over these past few months, those have become more commonplace, of course, but some of that might continue as an example. On these issues locally, you may find that there are some things that you would want to have become a permanent or maybe seasonal option going forward. We will work with you to see what makes sense for your community. I did mention before that the Barr Foundation is partnering with us on that program and is available to provide technical assistance to work with you. And we will work with you as well. So some of these things, if they look to be more permanent in nature that you want to incorporate into your community, then we would be open to having that conversation with you.
Thank you. Last week, it was stated that municipalities could have fireworks displays with restrictions, including no gatherings, no parades. Is there any further written guidance coming on fireworks displays? Is that a part of your looking at further refining your gatherings guidance.
We
and
this week having remote displays. I think that as part of the discussion we're having around the gathering order, we would be concerned about large, we'd have to define large events. We'd want to really think about smaller to mid-sized kinds of events. And if fireworks displays might trigger larger gatherings, that we would not be able to see social distancing incorporated into that event, then that would be a concern. So we will review that and be mindful of the July 4th activities that you're thinking about a lot. And we also talked about a lot of these not sponsored fire displays occurring in places throughout our Commonwealth, which isn't safe, and balancing all of that into the context of the gathering order going forward. So I would say give us just a little bit more time. Probably later this week, we will have more specifics for you on the gathering order.
Thank you. There is a question regarding questions about the CARE Act reimbursement eligibility. And if anyone wants to open the chat function, you can take a look and scroll down and you'll see that Sean Cronin has provided the contact information in that section regarding the email address and the contact folks for CARES Act questions. So thank you, Sean, for jumping forward and answering that. Another question on expanded gatherings, a ratio of people to acre could exist. There's a community that has a potential event that can likely socially distance guests over a large acreage that doesn't appear to be currently possible.
Okay, that would fall into that gathering order bucket. And thank you for that example so that we can try to address that as well. We are receiving calls around fairgrounds and those kinds of events that are really important to our economy in places throughout our state that has more agriculture and more opportunities like that. So more to come.
Thank you. Here's a question I think that has already been answered by both you and Dr. Madoff regarding the testing results from the protests, demonstrations, people, witnesses for social and racial justice. It's very good news that only 400 positives, it's still 400 out of 17,000 tests during those pop-up sessions, and applause to the administration for making that testing available. That's an extraordinary service. Question regarding the extension filing for meals and occupancy taxes. Sean, this is a question where communities are concerned about being able to get early notice or warning of potential reductions in revenues below what they're budgeting or expecting. Is there any way to get preliminary numbers or some indication of what the cash receipts will be for communities during this delay period?
Yeah, it's a little tricky because it depends on, you know, if a community only has one hotel, we can only give certain information. So whoever has the question, just email me, because Lisa Friswicki, who many of you know in my office, is the subject matter expert on the local options taxes, and we can set up a call between whoever's asking the question and Lisa. Lisa can provide all the information that's available.
And thank you. What is being done in the towns that have indicated that they are not complying with the order and are the administration's orders and are planning to hold July 4th parades, gatherings on town commons, and so on? There's a concern that there are some communities that are actually advertising celebrations. So just wondering about the way to ensure consistent application of the restrictions on public gatherings.
Yeah, I think what that points to is the need for us to update our gathering order, because in phase three, which we are inching toward, it does allow for these kinds of events with moderate capacity. So it's on us to define better what moderate capacity is so that you can work with these event hosts to allow them to safely conduct their event, but they do need some direction, and that's what we're working on this week.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
That's right.
Then someone says thank you from the community with the water park. And then we have a member of your staff, Jessica Beliveau, has posted a link in the chat function on accessing information on this Shared Streets and Space program, detailing the goals and provides the criteria for evaluation, just to provide more information to the answer that you had already provided. And then we have a question or a comment from a local official, a comment that someone, a local official, has been told that superintendents have seen the DESE guidance for the fall plan, but municipal CEOs have not. Just a request to make sure that that information is distributed in real time to all of the major decision makers.
Okay, I know the commissioner had a conversation with the superintendents to gain feedback while the document was in a draft form in order to help clarify in his mind direction and more detail that was needed to be a better document for the locals, both municipal as well as schools, to work with. So that is not a final document. It's still in draft form, but is in the process of being finalized, and the goal is to have that released to all of you by the end of the week. And then, of course, having the commissioner here at this meeting next Tuesday could be very helpful to providing a little bit more voice to that document to give you direction.
Excellent. Thank you. Here's another question on gatherings. A local official is having some trouble gathering or finding the location on the state's website on the existing gathering order. And the question is about whether or not more than 10 individuals who are social distancing is allowed. I think, is this in the outdoor events and gatherings section that's on the website? Because I think that there is an indication in the information that Secretary Theoharides had talked about with us that provides this clarity?
I'll have someone that's on the call, whether it's Lily or Jess, post a link to it. Gathering is mainly focused on confined spaces. If you have an outdoor event, or take, for example, our restaurants outdoors under a tent, the roof is okay, but you need the openness of that outdoor dining area in order for air to flow. So in an unconfined place, there is a gathering, but the industry for a restaurant has certain protocols in place. 6 foot distances between tables, 6 maximum at a table, etc. We need to provide you with better guidance around what moderate capacity means for the upcoming phase and the activities that will be activated, which could potentially be after that 4th of July week. So I just want to just emphasize that is a work in progress. It is being reviewed and analyzed, but will be released in to you very soon. And the current order and that language can be shared here. So I will have someone on my staff add that to the chat.
Great, thank you. And then just a point regarding, I think in a couple of different posts, just because there's so much information out there, and we know that you are sharing as much information as possible, communities are also working to try and coordinate with their own institutions, such as the school department, and having state agencies all be together. And we understand that is a work in progress and critically important, because without everyone having a common understanding of the information and the guidance and the rules, it's really hard for localities to administer programs. So we understand that, and that's what's coming through on the in the chat questions. Here's a question: are outdoor fitness and exercise classes still limited to 10 participants?
Where they can be multiple participants with the distancing between the groups and equipment. We also activated yesterday personal training, one-on-one indoors, or one-on-two if the two are of the same household.
Very good. Lieutenant Governor, it looks like we've run through there's one more. There's more in that if people look at the chat function, there are various links. Use the most recent or the latest of the links that are posted up there, but in the MMA summary story that we post on the MMA website regarding this call, we will post all of the links that have been requested, and they will be live links, ones that work to the appropriate places in the state site. And I think that has brought us, Lieutenant Governor, to through the run of show and all of the questions. Do you have any concluding comments as we prepare for the next phase of this process?
Yeah, just so, again, thank you. I received some good input here, putting finer points on what we're advising and bringing clarity to our guidances. I think the gathering order is obviously an important topic that we received more input from you today about, as well as schools, which you know is under analysis now and the documents being finalized to share with you. So some really important information coming your way by the week's end, and be happy to follow up with you next week at this time to go over those and address any further questions that you might have. With the good weather brings opportunities for people to enjoy, but also the risk of more people enjoying and forgetting that they should be mindful of their neighbors and their distances and utilize distancing and face coverings as the tools needed in order to be able to do more in our Commonwealth. It's also very dry out. I want to say thank you to all the fire service and emergency responders. And out in Southbridge and Sturbridge had some activity because of the dryness. There's also a bill coming through the legislature on Triple E. You know, it's always something, you know, in our collective worlds to have to manage through, and Triple E is obviously something that in this season we'll need to deal with. And that bill would allow for more expanded and strategic spray and targeting the eggs and where the production is taking place. And Katie Theoharides has a team of people working on that. I just want to thank the legislature too for processing the bill that's coming through. So more to come there. Thank you for what you're doing. A lot of important decisions on budgeting, and I think you received a good amount of information from Sean Shop and ours on CARES Act funding. Updating that FAQ is coming soon too to provide more information to all of you to really take advantage of the CARES Act funds and also to maximize the FEMA reimbursements. It's just a lot for you to keep track of, and we thank you.
Lieutenant Governor, thank you very much. You and the governor aren't just governing the state, you're governing us through an unprecedented health crisis, and all of the responsibilities and initiatives that you and your team are putting together and collaborating in partnership with local officials are making a real difference in making Massachusetts a leader. And our shared goal is to keep Massachusetts as a leader in protecting the public. Anything MMA can do to support your efforts and work with you and share information, we are and will do. I will note that the MMA is serving as the hosting platform for a briefing by the administration on Triple E this Thursday. And that invitation was sent to all the folks who are invited to this briefing. So please respond to that and participate in that briefing and get information on Triple E. We will provide a summary of this call and post it on the MMA website. And we will provide an audio recording that can be shared with all local officials in the Commonwealth. And we look forward to next week, where the gatherings and schools and so many other issues and new discussion points will come up. So we thank you all. And also a special shout out to your staff and team and agency leaders, Dr. Madoff, Sean Cronin, Lily, Jessica, who's been providing information in the chat function. Your team has really been extraordinary, and we appreciate all of their work that they're doing for us. So until next week, we thank all local officials for tuning in. Thank you for the work that you are doing. We ask you to be safe and try and enjoy the weekend at when it comes. In the meantime, we're here for you. Everyone, take care.
Okay, thank you all.
Thank you. Thanks, everybody.